Here we are at Easter 2022, April the 17th. Pray with me. Holy Lord, this is so familiar. This is so well known, but not well understood. Help us to see today in an entirely new way the wonder of your resurrection, the wonder of Easter Day. Amen. There is a legend that says that around the time of 60 AD in the rule of Emperor Nero, there was, of course, much persecution of Christians. And the legend goes that the Apostle Peter was fleeing Rome to escape this persecution. And on the way, he had a vision of Jesus walking towards Rome. And he says, Quo vadis, Domine? Where are you going, Lord? And Jesus says, I am going to Rome to be crucified again. And Peter turns around and goes back to Rome, strengthens the Christian community, and is eventually crucified, as legend has it, upside down. And you can read all about it in the book of the same name, Quo Vadis. Or you can watch the movie made in 1951, again of the same name, Quo Vadis. But in your inner self, I want you to ask yourself, Quo Vadis, where are you going? Where am I headed? How do you spend your life? But Tony, look, this is Easter. You're off the script. No, I'm not. Because Easter and the resurrection gives Christians a new direction in their lives. The Lord Christ came out of the tomb. Ah, that's great. Now, preacher, you're back on track. Jesus came out of the tomb and, well, now what? Well, there are a story told of three Episcopal priests who were driving together and were involved in a wreck and were all killed and went to stand before St. Peter. And St. Peter says, well, who are you? And they say, well, we're all three of us Episcopal priests. And Peter says, well, we don't get many of you up here. I need to ask you some questions just to make sure you're worthy to enter. And he looks at the first one and says, well, tell me about Christmas. And the first priest says, well, it's all about a jolly, rather fat man in a red dressing gown who gives gifts to people. Peter says, go stand over there. To the second one, he says, well, let's change this around. Okay, so tell me about Easter. He says, well, Jesus went into the tomb, and St. Peter begins to get his hopes up. Yes, and then what happened? Well, after 3 days, he came out of the tomb. And then what? Well, then he gave Easter eggs to all the children. Peter says, you go sit over there. Then the third one. He says, all right, you tell me about Easter. Well, Jesus went to the cross. He was buried. And 3 days later, he rose again. And Peter is really rather hopeful. And he says, and then what? Well, the priest says, if he sees his shadow, he goes back in for 6 more weeks. You go sit over there too. Here we are, Easter 22. Quo Vadis, where are you headed? What is your life doing in the light of this marvelous resurrection? Well, think about this. The risen Jesus keeps saying, go. Go into all the world. Go where I go. Follow me. Come to me. Join your life to mine. Take my yoke of service upon you and go wherever I go. Go. This is the direction. Take up your cross and come follow me. Well, you may ask, well, does this mean I have to become a minister? No, no. We don't need more ministers. But what we desperately need is more disciples of Christ. By this, I mean more people who will give their lives to Christ, who will spend their lives learning of him all that they can, and who will at the same time follow him. Think about this Sunday, Easter Sunday. There are millions of people in the United States in church who will sing of Jesus today, hear of Jesus, pray to Jesus, but when the service is over, well, very, very few will actually leave the church building and follow him as disciples. Oh, yes, the tomb is empty, and, well, what does he say? At the end of Matthew's Gospel, you have one of those classic statements. We call it the Great Commission. And in Matthew 28, starting at verse 16, the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go." There's that word again. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. That's a disciple who obeys everything I have commanded. And then he says, "Surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Go and make disciples. Be disciples. Make disciples. But how can I do that, people ask? What are my resources? Jesus says, "I am with you always to the very end of the age." Wherever the Christian is, there will be the Lord Jesus Christ, guiding, protecting, empowering. Now, he does it now. He does it today. He'll do it throughout your life. Is this what you will know when you leave church? That the Lord is with you, guiding you, loving you, protecting you, sending you? Does Jesus' resurrection mean an entirely new sense of direction for you and for your life? Or is your Christianity reduced to an hour on Sunday, with the rest of your life spent as you wish? The Lord Jesus Christ says, "Come and then go." From Matthew 11, verse 25. At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children." You see, we're not being told to be childish, but what it's telling us is that no matter who you are, no matter what your education, whatever your IQ, God can and will make himself known to you. Jesus goes on in verse 26. "Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." See, who is it to whom Jesus will reveal God the Father? The people he now lists in verse 28. He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Rest in the Bible means salvation. Well, who qualifies? Those who mourn for their sins, those who hunger and thirst for God's righteousness, for God's forgiveness. To these, and to these alone, Jesus says, you are ready to join your life to mine. In verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from you. The yoke, of course, is used in farming to join two animals together, say oxen, so that they may pull a plow. It's used in the Bible of slavery, of servanthood. Jesus says, when you are desperate, hungry for forgiveness, for salvation, when you are ready to join yourself to me, come to me. Come to me. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Today, the risen Christ stands before you and says, follow me, learn of me, serve me. Quo vadis, Domine? Where are you going, Lord? Are you prepared to do my will and not your own? If you are, follow me. That's where I'm going, to serve my Father. And you will serve him too. See, the person who does that has life and has it abundantly. But the person who does not has no life, no eternal life with the Father. He who seeks salvation finds life. He who does not seek salvation finds death. Now, will this be just another Easter service? The Lord is risen indeed, he is risen. Alleluia. Or, having said that, you just leave church and get in line for the buffet at the local restaurant. Or will this be the moment you turn and follow Jesus Christ and have a new and wonderful sense of direction? Will this be the moment when you join your life to him, when you determine, I will be your disciple, I will have this direction, I will follow you? Quo vadis? Where will you go? Where are you going? Are you following the risen Jesus? Or have you just packed it away for another year and follow yourself? The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Follow him.